Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing old windows for smoother operation and home comfort. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In 2021, Tina Palmentuan, a 20-year public media veteran with experience as a journalist, educator, and leader, came from NPR member station KALW in San Francisco to lead St. Louis Public Radio as CEO. In St. Louis, she served in that position for 3.5 years before her last day, which was this past Friday. Palmentuan is now headed for Seattle, Washington, where she'll take the helm at NPR member station KUOW. I talked with Tina on Friday, and she reflected on her time as this station CEO. She also shared thoughts on the future of public radio, local and national, and on the outlook for STLPR as it transitions to independence. I started the conversation by asking Tina why she wanted to come to St. Louis Public Radio.
So 2021, the year that I came, St. Louis Public Radio had a particular reputation within the system, and a lot had happened in terms of its culture, and a lot had happened in terms of the way it was seen in terms of its DEI culture. And I think we all kind of know that history in a way, right? And when I came to visit, and it was my first time ever coming to St. Louis, was during my interview, there was something about the staff, the way in which they asked questions, the way in which they showed up. I mean, I will say that this interview process lasted from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Different meetings along the way. There were breaks,
sure,
so it wasn't
sure.
too brutal. But there was something in the way that the staff showed up. And what I can say about it is that the feelings felt very raw. I think I will always say that in public media, the staff and the people are very earnest in their intent. They're very mission-centric. I got all of those vibes and feelings from the questions, from the answers that people gave me. But there was something about the moment where I really felt called to be here. Mm-hmm. And I myself was going through something quite difficult. My father had just passed within that summer, and it was an unexpected loss. Well, I should say it was expected but unexpected. He'd been sick for a long time, but mm-hmm. No one's ever prepared to lose somebody that you are very close to. Mm-hmm. It was during the pandemic, so I had actually not seen him in a few years. I went home for the first time, and it was the last time that I was with him. And just a few weeks after that, I was on my first interview with on Zoom mm-hmm. With some of the staff and search committee at STLPR. And I think there was something about the pain I was in and the pain that I saw reflected in the workplace and in the staff at that time that felt like maybe we needed each other. And I will also say that my father was my first teacher in the space of racial equity and inclusion and the ways in which, American history and American culture, the difficulties throughout the generations and decades and mm-hmm. centuries. He was my first teacher. And so there was something in that alchemy, that combination of events that felt right.
Mm-hmm. You came in as a change agent, and you've described yourself that way. What was it that your father taught you that prepared you to be that kind of change maker?
What he taught me, I think, at its very core, was to not be afraid to say things and to use all that you have within you, your personal experience, your culture, right? I feel like I bear my Filipino identity, my Asian American identity, and my person of color identity in a very public way in the leadership roles I take. And I think what he taught me was to be able to stand in a room and say the things that needed to be said, but also deep listening, to really listen to the experiences of others and see how our stories connect. And I think in all the conversations I'm having, you know, whatever space I'm in, I'm often trying to just connect to the person and see the spaces in which our lives overlap. I firmly believe that in almost 99% of cases, maybe 100%, I can find something in common with the person sitting across from me.
And is that what you came to do specifically at St. Louis Public Radio?
I really think that what I came to do at St. Louis Public Radio was to bring out the best in the staff. I don't think that I did anything other than be here and listen and take the talent that was already here and make it shine, help us attract more talent. Mm-hmm. I think what I did was, it definitely took leadership, but it definitely took partnership. And I have embraced that with the staff. And they have embraced it. And that, I think, is what I am truly grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Since 2020, Tina, you have served as a member of NPR's board of directors, and you chair the board's DEI committee. And this is at a time when federal funding for public radio is under attack, as are diversity, equity, and inclusion in initiatives overall. What is your take on what is happening on the federal level at this moment?
Well, that's a very big question. There's so many things happening, but I'll go straight to rescission, right? We're in this moment where we're likely to see that rescission is on the table. It is on the table. And we don't know yet, but what we're doing in, and I think many member stations, what they're doing right now is planning for the possibility that we won't have the federal funding that we've depended on for years. And that is a real, it's a real challenge, right? Because it creates a hole in the budget that we then have to fill. This is a moment, too, when we are seeing our communities come together across the country to support their public radio stations and to support their public television stations. And that's a really beautiful thing to see. Now, as far as my take on it, I think that we're up against a lot in this moment. I mean, nobody could say otherwise. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you know, this is something that we have known is on the table for a while. It's not sudden in a way, mm-hmm. right? It's maybe sudden to the public, but it, you know, in our various camps and in our conversations that we have with other GMs and CEOs and leadership of the member stations, we've known that this has been on the table. And we have known that one of the things that we are going to need to do is really rethink our system in a way, mm-hmm. Rethink the ways in which we are appealing to the public, and telling our story in this faithful, dedicated way, which we've done over time. But, you know, there can be sometimes some confusion as to where our funding comes from. In the case of STLPR, it's 6.2% of federal funding. Mm-hmm. And so it's not 20%, it's not 30%.
Right.
It is still a sizable chunk. So it will take fundraising. And what we have seen in this moment is people really answering the call. And I expect that to continue. And, you know, it's not a done deal yet. You know, are there the enough votes in Congress? That remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there is still some hope there.
Yeah. So rural public radio stations mm-hmm. do rely much more heavily on federal funding than stations in cities like St. Louis Public Radio is. And you have this deep understanding of the public radio system. If federal funding does go away, would there be some obligation, so to speak, for bigger public radio stations to essentially subsidize other public radio stations that have relied so heavily on money from the federal government?
So actually, that has always been baked into our system, where stations in larger markets that had the potential for fundraising at a certain level have always paid, you might say, a disproportionately larger amount of the of fees to NPR. Mm-hmm. And that's intentional. And that's why I think it's a beautiful thing about the system that has always existed, that we share this kind of, we have this shared fate. Mm-hmm. And so the stations that can pay more fees to NPR, they do. Mm-hmm. And they do because other stations cannot. In leaving STLPR, I will be going to a larger market. And I understand that as part of my responsibility to be fundraising in a space where there may be more potential fees to NPR to pay that will then resonate throughout the system. And mm-hmm. I take that challenge on with a lot of, excitement.
Mm-hmm. Tina, in February, it was announced that St. Louis Public Radio is going to become an independent nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. which means separating from the University of Missouri St. Louis. And this is a process that could take up to 3 years. Now, this does mean a lot for staff in terms of benefits, but what does it mean for listeners?
I think, we've always had a strict firewall. That is something, editorial firewall, I should say, between our license holder, UMSL, and STLPR. And that is a firewall that has been respected. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very strong firewall. And what it means for listeners is that they have that added insurance about our independence. It also means that, I've been a deep believer in the fact that, so many of our member stations grew up at universities and school districts as their like home base, mm-hmm. right? So that was their historical origins. As NPR and member stations and public radio grew, in some ways we grew in a different direction than our university campuses. And the growth and sustainability, it's been proven many times over for member stations at that where their licenses are held by universities. Like, they often are able to grow and be sustainable in a way that is they're able to take on opportunities, they're able to grow and be sustainable in ways that are new and beneficial for the community, that may not have been the case if they stayed with their license holder. And so I think for the community of St. Louis, which is a highly philanthropic community, this news that STLPR will be independent from UMSL is great news. It means that we are going to be able to grow in the ways that you want us to grow. It means that we are going to be able to reflect our community in the ways that we have long needed for STLPR to reflect its various communities, right? It's not one community in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. It's many communities that form the city and region. And I also think that it's going to mean a closer relationship, right? The governing board is going to be made up of community members, mm-hmm. and it remains to be seen exactly how that governing board is created and how deeply reflective it is. But I have high hopes, and I can say that the culture at STLPR is incredibly strong, and that has been through my work in partnership with the staff 100%. And what I would like to see is that culture reflected in the new governing board that will take shape.
Mm-hmm. So the station's current chief of staff, Jess Luther, will take over as interim CEO. Tina, why is she the right choice?
Jess is someone that I have deeply collaborated with over the last 3.5 years. And she intimately knows the organization, of course, the staff, with the operations, the work with UMSL, working with the board. So she is absolutely the right person to be taking on this role at this time. This is also her city, and this is her NPR member station. So she has an ownership of this space and a command of this space that is, I think, wonderful to see. And she has grown. I have taught her a lot, but she has taught me a lot in these last 3.5 years.
And I think there is a way that people will also say that when a change maker comes in and moves on to something else, that there are no big shoes to fill. So, what about that?
So I was saying this at our little staff get-together last night. When I first was a GM in San Francisco, the thing that I heard so often was, well, you have big shoes to fill, meaning the person who came before me. And I think, like, one thing about leadership is that you do it in your own way, and you have to. So I don't think Jess has big shoes to fill at all. Jess's badass feet will fill her badass shoes, mm-hmm. and I am taking my shoes with me.
Yeah.
And leaders, just because we have worked together so deeply, it does not mean that we are the same person, nor will we do things in the same way. And that should not be the expectation. Leadership is something you really grow into, and you make your mark in your own way, in partnership and in collaboration with your staff. And so it is my hope that no one ever says that to Jess mm-hmm. about having big shoes to fill, because it is her right and responsibility to do it in her own way.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap here, Tina, in front of us, I see your laptop, and there are a whole bunch of St. Louis Public Radio and NPR-related stickers. As you think about your time here and the kinds of conversations and engagements, interactions you've had with people, is there one that you can describe that captures what it is you will miss about St. Louis?
The memories that I have here are very deep. And my son was born here, and I had an amazing experience with the medical system here, frankly, mm-hmm. and with the community of care here, friends that I've made. I don't know if there's one story that encapsulates all of it. Mm-hmm. I guess that it's always about the people for me. So in this moment, that's what I'm holding in my heart. And, you know, in a couple months' time, I will have another laptop filled with different stickers.
Right, right.
I will have my mugs lined up from my station in San Francisco, KALW, STLPR, and now KUOW lined up on my desk. And it's a collection of stations that I'm really proud of. And, you know, it's just been a privilege and an honor to be able to represent all of them.
Mm-hmm. Tina, thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
And by Elaine Shaw.
Audio engineering and editing by Emily Woodbury.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.